This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, we have one baseball team in the Mid-Michigan area that's still in the hunt for a state title, Lansing Catholic Central. We have Okemos going to the state finals in soccer. So a few teams left in the Mid-Michigan area that's still competing for a state title. Well, let's bring in our friend Denny Schwartz from the Lansing State Journal and talk about some of the we have golf going on this weekend. So let's bring in Denny and talk with him. Hey, Denny, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Earl. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, doing good. And yeah, a lot of things going on in this area, you know, in the high school. We don't have a ton of teams in the area, but we do have a few left in a few sports. And so that makes it pretty exciting for those schools and those teams that are left in the Mid-Michigan area.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, it's odd, you know. I mean, it's almost summer, and it is for most of the kids who are out of school. But the spring sports are still going, and there's a lot of quality teams in a variety of different sports that are still playing and going to be finishing up play this weekend. So it'll be exciting to see if any of the local teams in this area can bring home state championships.
Yeah, it would be very nice. I mean, in the golf, you know, we still have some teams left in the golf area competing for a state championship, don't we?
Yeah, we actually have in our coverage area at the Lansing State Journal, we have 9 area teams still left, 4 in Division II with DeWitt, Hazlitt, St. John's, and Mason, 4 in Division III with Lakewood, Lansing Catholic, Williamston, Ithaca, and 1 in Division IV with Fowler. I like the chances of some solid performances from these teams. Division II's up at Ferris State, home course, Katke Cousins Golf Club, and Division III and IV over at the Forest Acres Complex this weekend. That's where I'll be at on Saturday, is covering the Division III and Division IV state meets. But a very strong year for boys golf. Some really solid players. Chris Belzer, he's a senior. He won the Division II regional that they had that they played at Gull Lake View Golf Club in Augusta, and he's a solid player. He shot a 73, I believe, to win that event. And a lot of good performances out of the boys' golf this year. St. John's and Mason are, you know, not traditionally strong golf programs, but you know, getting the state this year, very solid for them. And it's a deep field for boys' golf this year, as I said.
Oh yes, a very good. It's funny we don't have anybody in from the upper divisions, from Division I or Division II. It's just sort of odd. I mean, we know that the smaller schools are pretty strong in that, and a lot more kids are going to the smaller schools. Any reason you see why we don't have anybody in the upper divisions?
Yeah, there's not a lot of schools. You know, sometimes you'll see Holt, have strong performances. But they were a little down this year. They did have a couple good kids. It's a little tougher up there in Division I, and they're really mainly the strongest performer out of the Division I schools in terms of boys golf. Some loaded teams in Division II and Division III. Hazlitt's real strong. St. John's, as I mentioned, they're up this year in Division III. You got Lansing Catholic and Williamston, and that Williamston program, you know, has really come along in the last few years. And you know, it's nice to see them be able to make a state championship appearance, because they've really built that program up, to where it's at now. And, Fowler, I covered their regional, and for a Division IV team, they're very solid. They've played at a couple tournaments throughout the year with some, A and B and Division I and II schools. And, they've really done nicely and performed well at those events. So they've shown that they can play with some of the big boys. And I think they have actually a pretty decent chance for a top three finish when they play over at the West this weekend.
Yes, and of course, you mentioned Lansing Catholic. They've had a great year in a lot of sports. This has been a very strong year for Lansing Catholic Central. They've just been strong in all sports for the most part, haven't they?
Yeah, they sure have. Some of these high schools, with the varsity programs, it's just a matter of, whether you get a strong crop of kids to come through their varsity programs, and it seems like they've had that, this year. I mean, with football obviously leading it off, and, throughout all the sports, and now you see it with not only golf, but you see it with baseball too. I mean, it's not often that a team from this area is able to really move on as far as Bailey Park, and they've done a good job to be able to do that. And it'll be interesting to see how they perform in Battle Creek this weekend. I know after talking to some of their players and their coach after Coach Scott after they beat Parchment over at McLean Baseball Stadium, and they're very excited to move on to that next stage, and they should be excited going on into the semifinals.
With all the teams from the era, do you see many of them are they being recruited for some of the Division I schools to play ball at one of the Division I institutions?
I am not actually sure, but I tell you what, I mean, with when you look at Lansing Catholic, they do have some fine ball players on their team. Not a ton of power on that team. When I was talking Coach Scott, earlier on in their district round, he explained to me that they only hit two home runs as a team all year. So they're very much station to station oriented in the way they play. But they can sure hit, and they they're timely hitting. And one of their pitchers, Dylan Rush. He's a younger guy, but I imagine he may get some D1 looks because he's one of their best pitchers, and he's not yet a senior, and he's very skilled. He can throw the ball hard, and he's a pretty good hitter too. So I imagine he may be getting some D1 looks down the line.
Yes, we've got a pretty good area, as you know, for our high school baseball. We put out a lot of quality teams and players from this area in the sport of baseball, which has really been good for Mid-Michigan. And, of course, the Diamond Classic is the leader in that because everybody seems like they want to get invited to the tournament, and only 10 teams get in. But it's been very successful for the last 50 years.
Yeah, it sure has. The Diamond Classic, it's almost, around this area, once the Diamond Classic gets done, I think a lot of people don't, realize that there's also a state tournament going on.
Right.
Simply because the Diamond Classic so often dwarfs the state tournament in terms of importance in this general area, of the state. But, on occasion, Grand Ledge has advanced quite a long way in the state tournament. We're seeing it this year with Lansing Catholic as well. But that does speak to the importance of the Diamond Classic when, some, people out there, put more weight on a Diamond Classic run than they would a state playoff run. And, that kind of competitiveness, really transforms into the state playoffs. And it also kind of, it hampers teams to a certain extent because they're also playing Diamond Classic games as well as state playoff games. And that can kind of hurt a pitching staff. So, you got to have a real deep pitching staff and a lot of arms to be able to advance far in both the Diamond Classic and the state playoffs if you're one of the varsity teams in this area.
Okay. Now, as you know, summer camps will be starting real soon. You going to be covering any particular summer camp this year, Denny?
I'm not sure on that yet. It is a big time, around, and a lot of offers will go out, I'm sure. And it's opportunity for the coaching staff to really see kids in person for the first time. They've seen a lot of kids on tape, and I'm sure they've seen star ratings and scout ratings and whatnot and everything of that nature. And it's a key time to be able to see them right in front of them in person, and be able to evaluate their talent and be able to assess if they're worthy of a scholarship offer. So it's an exciting time to be able to see kind of the next crop, that they could extend offers to.
Yes, I was talking a little while ago to some of our friends about football for next year in high school, and they're saying that, the football still should be pretty good in this area, even though we know that the numbers aren't totally falling off. They're starting to slow down a little bit, because of more mothers don't want their kids to play football because of all the concussions that are developed. And as we know, a lot of kids, that's where they first start in high school before they even get to college. And I guess you have to be worried about that.
Right, and there's not a doubt about that. I mean, it may be documented as the numbers are going down, but when you look at the quality of the play around this area, I mean, last year they, this area had four. The teams go to the state final with Lansing Catholic and Fowler and Ithaca and the other one slipping my mind right now. But it shows that the quality of play is really solid around this area. And the CMAC's always going to have their representative go deep. A few representatives sometime. And Pouham, West Philly was the other one I was thinking about in terms of the four area representatives for the MHSA state championship down at Ford Field. But that's always a very strong league, and it ends up helping them as they go through Division 7 and Division 8 playoffs. And, you know, you got your CAAC Blue, which is always a very strong league. And they, it shows as well once they get into the state playoffs with their quality of play. So even though the numbers may be down, I still don't think the quality of play will suffer just because of the recent success that some of the teams around this area have had.
Do you feel that we're getting stronger in girls golf and girls hockey, or in girls sports in general? Seems like that's on the upswing.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think you know, some of the, and some of the youth programs, I think, contribute to that mainly. You know, when coaches really go out and, you know, encourage, you know, young boys or young girls to partake in sports, you know, early on, and, you know, they can get the proper coaching and the proper travel teams and the proper instruction, I think that not only increases the quality of play but also the quantity, because, you know, you get players that are better, more players want to be a part of a winning team, more players want to be a part of a winning youth program and organization, et cetera. And I think that creates interest and creates a lot of buzz. And when you get a successful varsity program, I think it's somewhat of a trickle-down effect, because the youth programs will get better because more players and more families will go to the varsity games and see the success that the varsity team has had, and, you know, wanting to get their kids involved as well.
I know all parents, they have a dream in the back of their mind. Of course, if the kids are going to programs in this area, they love to get their kid to get good enough to be recruited by Michigan State. Some of them do, but that doesn't happen very, very often, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it only as the, you know, the more, you know, larger scale the university is, you know, the chances do go down. I mean, you know, not everyone is going to be being recruited by a Big Ten school or an SEC school or, you know, things like that. But, you know, there are a lot of college sports out there. There are a lot of colleges out there. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to be had, you know, even if it's not at the Division I level. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities at the Division II level, even the Division III level. I mean, not all of those Division III schools are going to offer full-ride scholarships, but some do offer things such as, I mean, half scholarships where, you know, they'll pay for class and tuition and boarding and whatnot. But, you know, there's lots of opportunities for scholarships out there. It may not be at a marquee institution, but there's definitely opportunities out there if you want to pursue being a Division, you know, two or three athlete as well.
Yes, because so many kids don't pursue, or either their parents don't pursue those schools when it's a Division II or Division III. You know, I guess we're at a point in our lives in this stages around here that sort of people sort of look down on Division II or Division III. If they're not recruited by one of the big time schools, like you say, a Big Ten school or larger or something like that, they just think the other teams that just aren't that good.
Right, and I mean, that's a good point as well, Earl. I mean, and some of the programs around this area, I mean, you know, take Grand Valley football, you know, for instance. I think with the success of the program, you know, comes a little bit of pride. I think, you know, before Grand Valley got to be the power that they were, you know, there may not have been, you know, that certain amount of pride. But now, you know, with the national championships that they've been able to win, even at the Division II level, and the national success that they've had, you know, you get a little more attention when it's announced that someone's going to play at Grand Valley. I mean, you saw, you know, Wayne State was in the national championship game, you know, last year in Division II. And I mean, there's a certain amount of attention, I think, that comes with success where you wouldn't get that in the past. But now it's kind of looked upon in a little better light simply because those programs have been able to establish the success and they've been able to establish more of a reputation around the state.
Okay. Hey, Denny, I want to thank you for joining me. I'll have you on again, as you know. It's been a pleasure talking with you today, buddy, and we'll do it again pretty soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Earl. Take care.
Okay. Take care, Denny. Bye-bye. And that's Denny Schwartz from the Lansing State Journal. The time, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Last month, NPR's Tom Bowman traveled on patrol with U.S. troops in Afghanistan in what the military calls the last major combat offensive of the war. For many officers, one haunting question remains.
Will they be successful when they leave?
I'm Neil Conan. The last big push in Afghanistan. Tom Bowman joins us. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Well, let's wrap up hockey season. Hockey has finally ended. The Stanley Cup winners this year are the LA Kings. So let's bring in Scott Moore and talk a little hockey for him one more time before he goes into serious withdrawal before the college hockey season starts up. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
What do you mean before he goes into?
Hey, yeah.
I'm just looking forward to watching a parade today.
Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah.
I mean that's the thing. LA hadn't won one in the first, and of all the school teams that are left, the pro teams that were left, we thought they probably had the least chance of winning a title, and here they get out, and the other two teams are already gone.
Well, I've been thinking about it, And it's interesting when you really look at what happened there. I mean, they were the eighth seed in the Western Conference, but there's a reason they were the eighth seed in the Western Conference, and that's because midway through the season they went through a coaching change, and the new coach, Daryl Sutter, came in and really changed the system. And when you look at that, how much like what happened at Michigan State was what happened with the Kings, because they went to a more up-tempo style and turned things around, had a much better record in the second half of the season than they had in the first half of the season. Same thing happened at Mount Ice Arena when Tom Anastas came in. He changed the style that the guys were playing, and the players responded to it.
Yes, they did, and it worked out great for LA. It worked out great for Michigan State. And those, sometimes you have to do those kind of things. And I know that he's really out there hitting the recruiting trails now. Now you have to do the other most important season for college sports is recruiting, but that never changes. But there seems like people put more pressure on the coaches to do a better job getting kids to go to their school.
Yeah, that's one of the battles. I mean, everybody goes through that battle, though, and it'll be interesting to see how the recruiting battles go with the new attitude, the new focus on the up-tempo style of play, because a lot of kids like to play that way. And so, you could see a few more doors opened that might not have been opened in the past for Tom Anastas and the staff, as far as kids that are willing to listen to him now.
Yes, and kids, we know they all like to play an up-tempo, fast style of ball, whether it's basketball or football. I mean, I heard kids all the time say, well, I'll go play for Tom Izzo if he pushes the ball up the court. They don't realize he always wants to push the ball up the court.
Exactly.
Another team gets in the way. They won't let you do that often.
Right. Tom focuses on defense and everything, but he loves to run. When he's got the horses to do it, it's fun to watch.
And hopefully we'll have more this year. I know he's recruiting kids that are bigger and stronger than what they've had before. So hopefully everything will work out all right, and it'll be even a better year than his first year was last year.
You bet. Yeah. Nowhere to go but up.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yep.
What do you think was the secret? What happened? That was part of the reason why the Kings got good. They seemed like they had good talent there for the most part. So was it just the system that they had to improve the system to get better at?
I think the improving the system and changing the system was the key to everything that happened for them. I mean, you look at it after Sutter came in. I believe I was reading somewhere where from that point on they were. Had 23 wins, almost a 600 or 700 winning percentage from that point on. Let's see, I've got it here somewhere. 25-13-11 after he came in. So that's a pretty drastic change for a team that finished up as the eighth seed. I mean, they were mired. And so, an eighth seed that really was playing much better than an eighth seeded team deserved to play when they went into the playoffs. And you saw that. I mean, they took down Vancouver, they took down San Jose. They went through 1, 2, and 3 in the conference. They were eighth seed in number only when the playoffs started.
Yeah, hockey is one of the few sports that if you make a mid-season coaching change, that can have a positive or negative effect. But a lot of times, it turns out to be a positive effect.
Yeah, it certainly worked this year for them, which is to their credit. But and you got to credit the guys for jumping in line and buying into the system that Daryl Sutter wanted to play too. You know, because without that aspect, and you've seen that happen too when teams make mid-season coaching changes. You know, the guys for the most part are used to the coaching staff, and then somebody comes in and says we're going to do it differently, and the guys say I don't think so. So you know, credit the players for doing it, and you know they just ran roughshod through those playoffs. I was a little bit surprised with the way that the Devils were able to come back in Game 4 and then go back to New Jersey and have the success they had in Game 5 and really kind of turned it into a series at that point. Because up through the first three games of that series, it looked like L.A. was just having their way with them.
Yeah, yes, it did. And, you know, we thought it was going to be probably a four-game sweep. I know I thought it looked like at that point, when they're up 3-0, everyone's starting this thing sweep. But that's the hardest thing to do in any sport.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I was just going to say that. You know, every time that you start thinking, all right, we're done, you're not done.
Yep. Because, yeah, if you're down 3-0, you're going to let it all hang out. You're just going to do whatever it takes to get you a win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what they did. It was a great game. The Devils played a great game in that Game 4.
Yeah, yes, they did. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, have you heard much about how's recruiting going for Tom Anastas?
Yeah, we had a little session with him a couple of weeks ago, and all of the coaches, Kelly and Tom Newton and Tom Anastas, all said that things were going very well on the recruiting trail for him. And like I mentioned, they are getting the attention of some kids that may not have given attention to Michigan State in the past. So that's a good thing. And yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens from this point on, though, because, you know, the kids that came in last fall as freshmen were pretty much, you know, 90% of them were committed to the program before the coaching staff changed it at all. And about half, maybe a little bit more than half, of the class that's coming in this fall was in the same situation where they knew they were coming here and decided, despite the coaching change, to honor that commitment and come to Michigan State. So the new coaching staff's first real class is going to be this next one coming in a year from now. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of differences are. Now, that's not to say that there weren't some kids in either of the first two classes that the new coaching staff talked with and got them to sign their letter of intent to come here, but it'll be very interesting to see what the new coaching staff and what the kids that they're finding are going to look like in a year or two.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. We're talking with Scott Moore, talking a little hockey with him. We're wrapping up the hockey season with this course with the Stanley Cup. And that's Stanley Cup is, of all the major sports, that's the cup that really has been recognized the most, valued the most. And all the other sports, they're starting to, as you know, in baseball and in basketball, they're trying to get more recognition for the trophy, to winning a ring or winning the trophy. It's funny how that has changed in sports. I mean, nobody used to talk about the Stanley Cup, but now that seems like on everybody's forefront.
Well, yeah, it is interesting to see the things. You know, Gary Bettman has been maligned quite a bit as far as his abilities as a commissioner, but one of the things that they've done, the decision to go to the keeper of the cup, you know, and the white glove policy that, you know, the cup is never handled except by the players who win it. It with bare hands. It's always polished. It's always protected. You know, the show that they make of bringing in. When was the last time that you saw during a Super Bowl a cutaway of a car coming in with the Lombardi Trophy in it? It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
You know, and so the Stanley Cup is special in that respect. And the fact that, you know, the players are playing to win it for their team, but they're also playing to have possession of it for a full day. You know, every single player on that team gets the cup, and it'll be fun to see if Matt Green from Grand Ledge brings the cup back home like Drew Miller has done, like Justin Abdelkader has done when he brought it to Muskegon and to East Lansing. It'll be interesting to see if Matt Green brings a cup to Grand Ledge and lets the people of Lansing have another glimpse at Lord Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, I hear it. That's what's going to happen. So we'll just have to wait and see when Matt does that. And you know, it's so special winning those kind of cups and making those kind of dreams come true for yourself, especially in a sport like hockey. You work so hard. You work so hard to get just to the league, just to get up to the majors. And everybody, you know, that's the thing. I think that's why maybe the cup is appreciated more by the players. They have to work so hard to get there. They work hard in the minors, and then they have to work hard, even twice as hard, once they get to the pros. A lot of people think that your career slows down once you get to the pros. But no, you have to work even harder to maintain your spot there in the pros.
Well, and a lot of these kids, that hard work begins, you know, with, you know, not only their travel teams and their midget teams and all that, but, you know they're leaving home at 14, 15, 16 years of age and dedicating their lives to this sport at that point. Whereas, you know, I'm not trying to say that basketball players or football players don't work as hard as hockey players. That's not the case. But, you know, these kids are able to stay home and play high school football, high school basketball, and all that. The road traveled by a hockey player is so different. So, you know, maybe that's it. And part of it is the fact that it's just ingrained in these kids from that point on that the Stanley Cup is the end-all, be-all because of the mystique that goes with it. Everybody that grows up playing hockey has made the motion of holding the cup over their head. And the other trophies don't have the same mystique put to them. It was close when Michael Jordan started kissing the Lawrence O'Brien trophy for the NBA, and then you see players kissing the trophy again, but that's relatively recent. The Stanley Cup has been hoisted over the head for decades.
That's for sure, and it'll probably be continued that way.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Hey Scott, the other thing that we got to talk about with hockey and with as well as basketball too. You know, the kids are getting bigger and stronger, and it seems like when they get to this level now, and they get to a Michigan State, they're so much more polished than what they used to be. I mean, I guess I just have to attribute that to better coaching in their youth leagues.
Well, there's better coaching in the youth leagues, and the youth leagues are better organized than they used to be. When I was a kid, when I was, you know, growing up, you didn't have the USHL and the NAHL. Kelly Miller, if you remember, when he was in high school, he played for the Redford Royals. But it wasn't certainly a situation like they have now where they have the billet families and a kid from Michigan can wind up playing in Sioux City, South Dakota, or Fargo, North Dakota. It has exploded in that. And with these junior teams come, the junior teams have strength and conditioning coaches, so the kids are working on it at that level. So, it's just that it gets started at a younger age. And then with the guys playing professionally, those guys' situation very similar to every sport, where it is their full-time job now. It used to be in the old days that hockey players would take summer jobs because they didn't get paid enough to support their families year-round just to play hockey. Same thing in baseball, same thing in football. During the off-season, these guys had to take part-time jobs. And so now that they make enough money to support themselves and over-support themselves sometimes, they've got more time to spend in the weight room, more time to spend on their conditioning and their strength. So, these guys are getting bigger and stronger.
They are, and that's I doubt if that changes because that's been a long trend in our sports. Yeah. I was over at the basketball team facility yesterday and watching some of their guys work out. I mean, they're already doing specific drills that they hope will help them for the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing, as we've talked about before. You know, all the seasons are longer, and in the preparation for each season, it starts way before that season starts.
Oh, the season for Michigan State's hockey team starts in early July now. Because that's one of the things that that Tom has changed in the way that they do things. The team was basically dismissed for the first summer semester, and then they'll come back in early July, and everybody on the team will be in school and taking classes in the second summer semester, and they'll be working out together, they'll be lifting together, there'll be ice time available for them. You know, they'll have captain's practices. So, you know, it starts in July and will go until hopefully the first or second weekend of April if they keep going through the playoffs. So it's an incredibly long season. And it's the same way with every college sport.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've got guys on the football team are working on campus right now. Mm-hmm. The basketball team, you said you were there. That's one of the things that I've talked with our softball coach, Jackie Joseph, about is why won't they push the start of the softball season back so that you could actually play some home games in the north with decent weather?
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely, in my opinion, there is absolutely no reason why baseball and softball has to start when it does, because these kids are in school year-round anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to end it at the end of the school year.
No, so true, so true. And maybe that'll happen one day, but boy, right now they make it awful difficult for kids to be successful in the classroom and to be successful at the sport.
Yeah.
Some kids just can't handle that, and they don't organize their own study time as well as they probably should.
Right, and coaches would much rather have the kids be on campus and involved mm-hmm. in taking classes, because then they can keep up with them. Mm-hmm. They know where they are.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, they like that. I say for coaches, any sport, once the so-called off-season is here, that's the start of the real season, because they're going to hold their breath until they get the kids back on campus, as you said, and they start practicing for the fall. In the off-season, that's when they get in trouble, unfortunately, for a lot
of kids. Exactly. I mean, you know, that was – I forget which coach it was, whether it was Tom Izzo one of the football coaches or whatever. They said, you know, I have absolutely no problem with a kid being a dual sport athlete, because when they're in the other sport, that coach is watching over them.
Yep. Yep. That's for sure. Yeah, we've had a lot of interesting problems come up from time to time. But as I've always said, Scott, that, you know, the kids, you know, yes, they may make a mistake. You need to give them a chance. We know so many people just want them to throw the key out, kick them out. They don't want to give them a second chance. As we know, a lot of kids, they make that one mistake, or they make mistakes because they're young. Then they learn from that and they get better, just like Nix has learned from his mistake. Kids learn from their mistakes when they're young. Unfortunately, you can't prevent them from doing something stupid. It's just that so many of them have that mindset, no matter how many times people talk with them and try to encourage them to stay on the right path.
Except for you and I. I mean, we never got in trouble.
Oh, no, never did, no.
Never.
we're pure as the driven snow, Scott.
Exactly.
And Scott, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And as you know, we'll be talking more as the football season, we get a little bit closer. We'll be talking football and everything else here. Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Scott Moore talking sports with us right here on AM870. WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Everybody's an expert on their own lives, and on Talk of the Nation, we ask you to share your stories.
These techniques were used on me when I went through resistance training, sleep deprivation, putting bags over our heads.
I'm Neil Conan. Real stories from real people about real issues that matter to you. Join us. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. I'm Kevin Lavery. The forecast for the rest of the day, mostly sunny skies and a high around 80 degrees. Then clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Sunny skies both Friday and Saturday and a bit warmer with highs in the upper 80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, I got to tell you, in case you didn't hear this one, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is going to be staying in prison for the full 87 days. The judge declined giving him early release because he wasn't eating well, and they think it could affect his boxing career. He might not start boxing again, and the judge did not even budge.
Yeah, maybe that was probably because he saw that maybe they purposely wasn't eating well. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's just a thought. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
his lawyer is probably pretty smart, so I'm sure that was. I'm sure that was on purpose there.
Yeah, I think it was, and because they said he's refused to drink and to eat the food that they serve there. So hey, they're definitely not giving him a lot of junk food and stuff. But he said he could even exercise more. He declined to exercise in what they give him, and he just wants to be in the regular population, and they don't want him to put him in the regular population because somebody would probably try to test him, as people will often do. Trying to mess with the prize fighter. So it looks like Floyd will be spending the whole 87 days, and then if he wants to resume his career, he'll just resume it when he gets out.
Yep, and what's that old saying? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. That kind of sounds like he's having trouble doing the time. So, I guess we'll just have to wait until he gets out. And, he's a great athlete. It's not like he's not going to be able to stay in shape in jail. He'll come to his senses. He'll stay in shape, and then he'll get out, and then he'll get back in shape. I think he'll get back in the ring, no problem.
Yeah, well, we've got the part of the College World Series starts tomorrow, and Stony Brook starts going against UCLA at 5 o'clock on ESPN2. That's the team that most people will be rooting for, trying to get, hopefully Stony Brook will get all the way and win the finals. But it's a good story they are, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. it's great to see. Great story. You don't always want to see the top dogs that, every year in and year out. I mean, we've seen it in college basketball too. Usually when an underdog gets to the Final Four or Elite Eight, even, whatever the case is, or even to the championship game, I mean, the reality is most people are rooting for the underdog. I mean, that's how it is. People like the upsets. It makes for a great story. I mean, if every game was the same team winning every single time, I mean, that gets boring after a while. I mean, there's no story to write there. Oh, this team won again. Oh, great. That's a nice story. I just wrote that last week. I think this is a great story, and hopefully they can do some damage here in the College World Series.
And we'll have our good friend Terry Fitzwater on tomorrow to talk about NASCAR and the big race at MIS this weekend. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be. I need to go back there sometime again. It's been a while since I've been back there. I'd be curious to see what it looks like now. Like we discussed yesterday, they took out a handful of seats. So, I mean, I'd be curious to see what it's like. And I'd be curious to see what the crowds are like this week, this coming weekend. I know NASCAR, at certain courses, they've had trouble, filling those seats. I don't know what the TV ratings are as well. The Michigan course isn't exactly a course where, they usually spread apart pretty quickly. And, people get lapped relatively quickly, and they kind of spread out for a little bit. It's kind of a track that some people may call a little bit boring because of that. They don't usually stick together. They usually spread out, and there's not a whole lot of accidents, so a lot of cautions. But, it's NASCAR. You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Speeds get faster and faster each year. So, I'll be curious to see how the weekend goes for that.
Yeah, and of course, the Lions are in minicamp right now, the OTAs, they haven't started officially. I don't start till next month, but they are in the way. They're getting off the ground running. Mikhail Oshur has got his 2-game suspension. No surprise there for his problems he's had with drugs lately, but. Sometimes I think we're starting it too early. I mean, yes, I know they love to keep an eye on the players and such, but, if you want to start this early, why not just move these 2 or 3 day, off-season activities up. Just give them two or three more days at the start of the training camp, which starts in July.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, we got a caller, and maybe they can answer that question for us.
yeah, that would be something, because, yes, we have these OTAs going on right now for a few more days, and then the players will come back and get ready for fall camp, and that's when the battle starts. That's when people coaches will figure out who will play and start in what position. I always laugh every year when you hear coaches say that, hey, we don't settle on anything. We won't make those decisions until camp starts. Well, a lot of times they've made those decisions already during the summer. They watched it off the film that they watched last year and the previous year, and then they make up their mind off of that. And unless you really come down and lay an egg, it's really hard for someone to come in and win a position from you or from a starter that played well. So everyone's always looking to improve their team and get them better, but it all boils down to how much do you get better? How much can they help the team improve? I mean, every coach is looking to make their team improve, no matter what you hear from them. They're always looking for an edge. They're always looking for an edge, and hopefully they'll find an edge that can help them, that will get them one or two more victories for sure. That's what they try to do, and that's what we'll see from them right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way every Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Aaron, I was talking with, as you heard me talking with Scott, I was over at basketball yesterday and looking at the players. They were doing some drills. They were doing some big man drills. I almost got tired watching them.
Well, yeah, I probably would too. I'm not in shape, so I'd probably last about 30 seconds, and I'd be like, I'm out. I need a drink of water. How'd they look? How were things?
Well, they look pretty good their conditioning drills. They seem like they're in pretty good shape, and they were just going through some big man drills. But they were running the court. Adrian Payne was running well. Derek Nix was running the court well. Even Alex Garner, he was running the court well. So it looks like that right now they're not in total best shape, which is I know what the coaches expect, but they're in pretty good shape right now, getting ready for the fall.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, at least they're there, you know, getting some drills in, at least staying in shape a little bit. It's the off season. It's summer. They're still young. They're going to get out of shape here and there. It's kind of somewhat of a vacation for them. As we know, sports nowadays is a, you know, all year round thing. But, it's a little bit of time for them to take off. But, you know, they realize they got to stay in shape here and there. So, you know, it's good to see that they, are doing the drills and that they're not just sitting on the couch playing video games and eating potato chips.
For sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell your friends, neighbors, everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. You can listen. You can call in. Give us if you have something that's on your mind you want to think about. We've been talking a lot about the Tigers, and the Tigers, they won one last night, so I guess we should talk about them when they win one, Aaron. They got an 8-4 win last night. That was very good. And also, we know we've got the second game of the finals going on tonight, so there's always a lot. This time of year, there are a lot of things going on in the sports world.
Yeah, no, it was great to see the Tigers get a win last night. I mean, I know some people are like, well, it's against the Cubs, it's a horrible team. But, they were going against Garza there, which, he's a pretty good pitcher. I know his record this year, I think, isn't so hot this year, but, that doesn't say much. His ERA, though, is right around 4. It's not the best either, but nonetheless, they got the win. Hopefully they can kind of pull things together. And, Fielder and Cabrera, I think, only had one hit each. But, some of the other guys stepped up, and that's what needs to happen.
Yes.
And Fielder and Cabrera aren't going to, be batting, 800 every single night or something like that. Yeah. So, they're going to have nights where they go 1-for-4, maybe 0-for-4. But the other guys, if those guys step up and are consistent, and then you have a good lineup, and that's a lineup that people expected. So, I think they're kind of slowly getting their lineup back in form and in shape now that Jackson is back a little bit. granted, he did go for 0-5 last night, but, you know, I think it's going to take him a handful of games to kind of get back into his, you know, sort of routine and comfort zone as far as the majors are concerned. Obviously, he was down in the minors for a little bit in his rehab session, but, yeah, no, it was great to see the win. Verlander's on the mound today, so, you know, I expect another one today with Verlander on the mound. Now, granted, you know, it's in Wrigley Field. It's I guess it's a little windy over there in Chicago. So whether the wind has any effect on his pitching, I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. But, yeah, I expect another win tonight from them.
Yeah, because, you know, Verlander has lost his last three starts or lost three of the last four starts he's had. I think one was a no decision. So I know people thought that he would just pick up from where he left off last year and just rip off about 25, 26 wins.
Yeah, that I mean, yeah, you know, he had a great season last year, and we all know that, obviously. But you know, I guess that's kind of how sports works. They have, you know, you have one season, and then the expectations are the exact same thing the next season, sometimes too. So whether he gets that this year, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he will have as great a season as last year, but. You know, it doesn't make him a bad pitcher by any means. He's still one of the best, if not the best, in the whole league. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, some of the other starters haven't been performing as great as people have expected, obviously. But so maybe that's hindered him a little bit, too. Maybe that's put a little bit more pressure on him to do even better than last year. But we all know he's the kind of guy that he takes himself very seriously. He takes his play very seriously. He's very critical of himself. He always says that he can improve, which, you know, for a player as great as he is to say that, that means that he knows he still has weaknesses that he needs to improve on. So, but hopefully sometimes that can hurt you as well, because sometimes you pinpoint too many things. You get too detailed about how your game is playing, which in turn can actually turn your focus away from just going out and doing what he's, you know, supposed to do, and that just puts a great game. Sometimes you can focus too much on the
all the other aspects.
Right, exactly. So, but nonetheless, I expect him to do have a great game today.
Yeah, and he should. I would expect that as well. I mean, they've already started. You probably got at least a one inning score or something like. Oh no, they just when the pregame show started at 1:45, so they won't get started playing until 2 o'clock or so. We'll follow some of that right here on AM 870 to follow the game and follow how the Tigers are doing. I mean, they've needed to use the Cubs as a stepping stone to start off and to get this season on a roll. They started out 9-3, and they haven't been close since they've been 9-3 at the first of the year. So they need the Tigers need to get on a roll and just start, you know, doing something for their fans and for themselves. In all honesty, you know, it's baseball season is just. It's just a long grind. I mean, you got to play 162 games, and now they're expanding the playoffs, so it makes the season go so much even longer because of this new format they have in the playoffs.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's a long season, but when you get a chance to you know, play a team that, you know, is as bad as the Cubs are, you know, you can't screw that up. You have to
take advantage of it.
And if you don't, then if you can't take advantage of it on some of the worst teams in the league, I mean, you know, that's telling you something about your team, you know. So the fact that you know, they got a win last night, so hopefully they can get another win today. You know, this is their opportunity, and I think they do know it, that this is, you know, a chance to really get some confidence, to really solidify that lineup, to get, you know, back to where they should be, to be in one of the best teams in the entire league as far as batting is concerned and scoring the runs that, you know, that they can score. So you're right. I think this is the one opportunity that they're going to get, and they need to take advantage of it for sure.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that NBA championship. Game two of the 7-game series. Oklahoma City won that first game. I was asking some of the coaches who they like, and some said, most of them said they like Oklahoma City, but a few of them said they like Miami, of course, and Dwayne Stevens worked with Wade during when he was at Marquette, and he talks still with Wade from time to time. So he's got a partial to Miami with Wade and LeBron. Some of the coaches were saying that you know, they felt sorry for LeBron, but he brought, you know, all this thing attention to himself. So he brought it. I said, I just told him, say, hey, LeBron made those decisions, and he spoke up. I said maybe he'll be welcome back. They say if he has to go back to Cleveland or one day, maybe it'll be when he goes back. But he is definitely one of the best players. Him and that's the one good thing about this rivalry in this series. You got the two teams, the two best players on two of the better teams in the league, and they're fighting for the championship. So it's very good. And you know, you hear all that stuff about, you know, and Jim Rome got into it with David Stern yesterday about the whole, how is the lottery fixed to get New Orleans that first pick? And of course, Stern was very upset about that. But that's the thing with basketball. We've always heard many selections ever since they started this lottery process that it's been fixed.
Yeah, that's always been sort of the rumor. And, you know, it's Jim Rome is, you know, as most people probably know of him, he's not afraid to ask those questions. So, you know, I understand where he's coming from. And, you know, I don't know if they've had any sort of proof, you know, that it's been fixed. But, yeah, I mean, how do you know that it's not?
And how would you know? And even if the commissioner did know, you got to believe he's not going to answer that question, honestly.
No, of course not. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have a job. So, you know, yeah, of course he's not going to answer that honestly. But, yeah, no, as far as regarding the series, yeah, you're right. You got LeBron and you got Durant, great players to watch, that's for sure. I didn't expect Miami to win both games in Oklahoma, so I expect, though, them to win this one tonight to even up the series. I still like Miami in this series. I think LeBron has gone through too much, and Wade, I think, I know Wade's won a championship before, but I still expect LeBron, he's too determined. I think he's still... I think the Heat will still win the series, but I think they pulled out tonight and even up the series.
Okay, that'll be interesting if they do. I must admit, I was very impressed with the Heat's defense in the first half the other night. That defense they played in the first half was great, and then it really didn't fall off that much, but, this Oklahoma picked up their defensive strategy and how they do things on the defensive end, so they played a great second half and held LeBron down, so... That turned into a win for them, but boy, you have probably two of the best defensive teams in the league. You know, if you take away Chicago without Derrick Rose, you probably got the two best defensive teams, and they fight very, very well.
Yeah, that's, you know, people have always complained about defense in the NBA, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're dealing with two teams that have great defense, and yeah, I mean, the first game, I think Miami could have won that, yeah. You know, as well. It's not. Neither team had a bad game, you know, but Oklahoma was able to pull it out. I honestly think the number one reason for that was just simply because of the home court advantage. They play so well at home. Yeah, you're right. But I still expect Miami to tie it up tonight. I think Oklahoma is a great team, obviously. There's a reason they're there, and we all know those reasons. But I expect Miami to tie it up tonight.
Yes, and that's the one thing about them, Oklahoma. They have a college atmosphere in a pro arena. It's sure it's a pro arena and pro fans and such, but those people, since they don't have any other pro teams, they've really taken to it, and they handle themselves like they're a college audience.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe that has to do with the fact that half of their players are so young, you know. That's probably part of it. You know, I guess as players get older, maybe you don't follow them as much anymore, or you move on to newer players that come into the NBA that are, you know, exceptionally good at such a young age. I guess maybe, you know, a lot of the fans maybe attach to those according to what your age is and what their age is. I don't know about that, but yeah, you're right. It does seems to have a little different atmosphere compared to some of the other, organizations around the league that, you know, even, I guess if you could compare it to the Pistons, you go to a Pistons game, it's kind of variation of, you know, people, but it's usually... people usually probably in their 30s or older people along that lines. You don't have like a lot of 20-year-olds sitting around watching a Pistons game. But yeah, you're right about that. It is a younger crowd there in Oklahoma.
It is, and that it really helps that team. It gets them energized, especially when you're falling behind. If you fall behind, they'll get you right back in the game. They'll pump you up. It's really a good NBA crowd, even though it's in a town that's basically a college town, but it's with a pro team, and they're doing quite well. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back tomorrow right here on AM 870. And remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Join us to talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, you've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way each and every day from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow as we'll talk auto racing with Terry Fitzwater, and we'll talk a few other things right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.